Now, it strikes me that we here, we cannot possibly get to grips with understanding the total ins and outs of the situation there. But it did seem as though praying for the Ukraine was the right thing to do a couple of years ago. So just, I'll play this without any further introduction. Or Anna will play this, please. So for every Ukraine, there will be another Ukraine. And for every Ukraine at the moment, there will be a Gaza, and there will be an Israel, and there will be a Palestine, and there will be a Yemen, and there will be countless other places which have happened or will happen into the future. So we're going to go through, I can't go through every single one of those countries with a 4-minute video. We would be here for a long time. And there will be an opportunity later in my bit here just to think about the situations that are so, so complicated that we don't really often know where to start with our prayers. But leaning towards the light, Jesus obviously thought it was important enough to give his disciples an idea of how to pray. And the content of the prayer that he taught them isn't overly complicated. And it seems to me as though the disciples wanted a straightforward prayer to pray that wouldn't be making any mistakes, that would be using the decent words, that would have a good sentiment and a good vibe that they could remember and try to say every day. So we're going to watch just, I'm not going to watch the second one. Can we skip to the third one, please? The second one is just somebody reading it through with some pretty pictures in the background. But actually, the third one has got someone playing Jesus doing it for us.
Take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now, it seems as though disciples of rabbis often ask their rabbi, teach us how to pray. Now, I've talked about the disciples before in the past, and this goes with my little story and my little belief that the disciples were a lot younger than you think they were. And it may well be that Peter was kind of 24, 25, something like that. But all of the others were perhaps teenagers, and John might have even been about 9 or 10. So they would have been disciples following Jesus around in much the same way that other rabbis had their little gang of boys following them around, learning from them. So when they said to Jesus, teach us how to pray, it may well be that they couldn't remember fully how to pray the daily prayer that Jewish boys were supposed to have remembered. All other rabbis gave their take on the daily prayer. And it may well be that Jesus is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one, was Jesus's take on the daily prayer that good Jewish boys were supposed to pray 3 times a day. Jesus isn't averse to doing this. He took the Ten Commandments and he said, well, it's just love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul, and be nice to each other. And if you follow that, you keep the rest of the law. And he also wasn't averse to saying, you have heard it said, but I tell you. So eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Jesus wasn't averse to summarizing and making things more simple. So here we go. Here is the Jewish daily prayer. It's in 19 bits. And I am going to read it all. So the God of history, blessed are you, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and revered God, the most high God, who bestows loving kindnesses, the creator of all things, who remembers the good deeds of the patriarchs, and in love will bring a redeemer to their children's children for his name's sake. O King, helper, saviour, and shield, blessed are you, O Lord, the shield of Abraham. And it had actions. There was various bits of standing up, sitting down, kneeling, bowing, lying on the floor, all that sort of stuff that would go through the whole of this prayer. You, O Lord, are mighty forever. You revive the dead. You have the power to save. From the end of Sukkot until the eve of Passover, you cause the wind to blow and the rain to fall. You sustain the living with loving kindness. You revive the dead with great mercy. You support the falling, heal the sick, set free the bound, and keep faith with those who sleep in the dust. Who is like you, O doer of mighty acts? Who resembles you, a king who puts to death and restores to life and causes salvation to flourish? And you are certain to revive the dead. Blessed are you, O Lord, who revives the dead. It wasn't in English. It would have been in Hebrew, it would have been in Aramaic, it would have been the languages that were spoken there. This version was put together by 19 rabbis, one for each bit, and then they all looked over each other's work in order to get it into English. Here we go. Yes, please. You're apparently Kong. We will sanctify your name in this world, just as it is sanctified in the highest heavens, as it is written by your prophet. And they call out to one another and say,
holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All
those facing them praise God, saying, and in your holy words it is written, saying, throughout all generations we will declare your greatness, and to all eternity we will proclaim your holiness. Your praise, O our God, shall never depart from our mouth, for you are a great and holy God and King. Blessed are you, O Lord, the holy God. You are holy, and your name is holy, and holy beings praise you daily. Blessed are you, O Lord, the holy God. I'm not going to read all 19. So you can see the titles, and if you want to, you can flick through and get the gist. The first ones were statements of praise, and the next few are statements of like request. So for understanding, for repentance, for forgiveness, for deliverance, for healing, for deliverance from want. For gathering of exiles. Now, this is where it all starts to get a little bit, that's interesting. And this Amidah, a prayer that is prayed every day three times by good Jewish folk, talks about the idea of homeland. It talks about the idea of a return. It talks about the idea of them being the chosen people. Restore our judges as in former times, and our counselors as at the beginning, and remove from us sorrow and sighing. For the destruction of the enemies of God. Let there be no hope for slanderers, and let all wickedness perish in an instant. May all your enemies quickly be cut down, and may you soon in our day uproot, crush, cast down, and humble the dominion of arrogance. Blessed are you, O Lord, who smashes enemies and humbles the arrogant. For the rebuilding of Jerusalem, for the Messiah, for the answering of prayer, for the restoration of the temple, thanksgiving for God's unfailing mercies, and for peace. Grant peace, welfare, blessing, grace, loving kindness and mercy to us and to all Israel, your people. Bless us, O our Father, one and all, with the light of your countenance. For by the light of your countenance you have given us, O Lord our God, a Torah of life. loving kindness and salvation, blessing, mercy, life and peace. May it please you to bless your people, Israel, at all times and in every hour within your peace. Blessed are you, O Lord, who blesses his people Israel with peace. Now, it's a big deal. If you read it all the way through, it takes about 6.5, 7 minutes. So doing that 3 times a day is a thing, and I'm guessing there's a load of people that do that. I wonder whether the disciples of Jesus and also the disciples of the other rabbis wanted their version so they could get it done. And realistically, they would get it done 3 times a day, whereas this one would be too long and they'd just be racked with guilt for not having got on with it and done it. But Jesus ends up, I think, with this. Now, there's some stuff here I thought you might be interested. It's been a while since there's been some Greek on the screen, so here's some just now. Now, first of all, these are not Jesus' words. They can't be. They're in English. These aren't Jesus' words. They can't be. They're in Greek. So there's a whole load of translation and there's a whole load of stuff going on here before it gets to our understanding and our version that we've got in Matthew 6. But our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed, to make holy, consecrate, sanctify, be your name. Now, not just your name, not just the name of God, but the authority that comes with a name. God's name was a name that was never written down in full. There was something very special about God's name. So our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it's not just that noise, God, Lord. It's not just that noise. It's the specialness that comes with it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So again, the words on the left, they're not Jesus' words. The words in the middle, they're not Jesus' words. Jesus' words were in a different language, and it's been translated at least twice to get to where we have it now. So some of the sense of the meaning is over here on the right-hand side. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us that which is owed, and even also to send away debtors. Again, not Jesus' words, not Jesus' words. Jesus' words were in his own language, and this has gone through a couple of translations before it gets to us. It's almost like somebody is saying, you've heard it said, but I say unto you, and someone has written an English version. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then a load of people add, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever and amen. Now, there was a joint service that I went to at some point, and it was one of those rare joint services that didn't just have Baptists, Methodists, Anglicans, but there was some Catholic folk as well. And I think it was at their church. So a good half of the people there were used to the Catholic tradition, and I think they were pretty much sitting on one side, and then everyone else was sitting on the other. And the priest who was leading the service says, and now we're going to say the Our Father. So everyone all chimed in with Our Father, all that. And then it got to this bit, and the whole of that side of the church didn't say anything. And everyone on this side went for the last bit, for thine be the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever and amen. Because that bit has been added at some point and isn't in Matthew 6. So, it appears as though this is Jesus's smashing, lovely, beautiful summary of something which is much, 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 much longer. And it appears, if you look at these words, whoops, wrong way. I overclicked. It appears that these words suggest that these are the important ones. If Jesus is doing these to show to his disciples, it appears to me that these are the important ones. And this idea of leaning towards the light praying this prayer, as the Jewish boys would have been encouraged to do, at morning and in the middle of the day and at night, would have caused them to not only just remember who they were and remember their identity and remember God, but also to remember what was perhaps important. God, you're amazing. God, everything you say is more important than what I say. Please help me out today. I'm sorry if I let you down. I will forgive other people as well. Please steer me in the right direction. I don't want to be caught up in bad stuff. I would fear if anyone was my disciples, because that's a really rubbish version that I've just said. But those, it seems to me, are the things that were important in all of that, that Jesus thought would be easy for the disciples to remember, easy for the disciples to say, easy for the disciples to remember to say, and easy for the disciples to pass on to other people. And it's worked 2,000 years later, and we still have this. Now, I'm going to try something a little bit different with four bits of prayer that I'd like you to try to remember today. And these four little bits of prayer, this isn't my take on the Lord's Prayer at all. But I just wanted to get you to think about how sometimes you kind of run out of the words to say. And you don't always know what exactly the right prayer is to pray. So I'm going to show you four pictures which haven't got many words on them, but I think they are prayers. So here is the first one. Now, that's supposed to represent tears. It's not supposed to be someone's left it under the tap. It's supposed to represent tears. So for this bit, I don't want anybody to do any prayers out loud. Jesus was talking about praying in secret and praying sort of on your own and stuff. So I'd like you just to, you don't have to put it into words. If you are able to think pictures in your head, or you're able just to think about situations in your head, could you just now, for 2-3 minutes, dear Lord, and picture and imagine situations in your life and situations in the world that are not right, that are unjust. And then together, in a couple of minutes' time, we'll just say amen together. And then we'll do three more of this, because there's three more pictures to show. So I said 2 minutes. I think I probably mean three. Let's do 3 minutes. See if you can picture situations in the world that are just not right, and then we will say amen together. So let's just say amen together after three. 1, 2, 3. Amen. All right, picture number two. It may be that each of us is in or part of a situation, or we can think of a new situation where it's just so complicated, you just don't know where to start. And for me at the moment in the news, that the Palestine-Gaza-Israel thing is so complicated. Politicians will often be talking about 1948. Politicians will often be talking about the specific date of the Hamas invasion and taking terrorists, taking hostages. I think the situation's been going on for 8,000 years. And the idea of sorting it out just like that now, no one else has managed that for millennia. And I don't know what to pray. I just don't know what to pray. So let's not put it into words. Let's not put it into words. But I would like us now for 2-3 minutes to pray about the Gaza, Israel, Palestine situation without putting it into words. And see if you picture stuff, by all means. But let's spend 2 or 3 minutes just with this idea that it is like, dear God, bleh. Amen. Right? So let's spend 2 or 3 minutes thinking about that situation and not being worried about the fact that we can't put it into words. So let's say amen to those pictures and images that we've been thinking about after 3, 1, 2, 3. Amen. Right, number 4. Oh, that's a shame. They were much prettier on my screen. Never mind. They were all lined up and everything. Dear God, happiness. Dear God, joy. Dear God, life is sometimes brilliant. Dear God, we've got a new car. Dear God, just there's all sorts of stuff in our lives where it's just, do you know what, God, thank you. Thank you so much. And it's kind of that and that sometimes push that out of the way. So a couple of minutes, have a little think about the things that you can just genuinely be super excited about and joyful about. And just in your own way. And again, if you can do this without words, that would be great. If you can bring up pictures of things or phrases that you can just imagine, that might be really, really lovely. So see, 2-3 minutes, things that are just joyful and brilliant about the life that we've been given. And we'll say amen together. Okay. One, two, three. Amen. And then I said there was four, so let's just go back. Dear Lord, tears. Amen. Dear God, bleh. Amen. Dear God, just so thank you. Amen. And then this one. Now, we'll have another couple of minutes in a bit, but I just want to play you a video that Ali has recorded. One of the things that we're, you know, facing as a church at the moment is this journey about the idea of what we as a group, or what individuals as part of our group, and our opinions on same-sex marriage and that kind of stuff, LGBT questions, all those kind of things. And so, do you know what? Ali did this video so that no one would have to stand at the front and say stuff. And here I am trying to say stuff, which is really silly. So, Anna, would you play this video for us, please?
Hi, everyone. During 2023, the Baptist Union Council invited churches and ministers to respond to a consultation regarding how churches in the Baptist Together family are engaging with issues of marriage and sexuality. During some of our church meetings last year, the church membership took some time to think together about this, and the leadership team submitted a response to the consultation survey at the end of November last year. With the leadership team, we reflected that this process was providing us with the opportunity to begin moving forward with facilitating conversations about sexuality and faith. So we also invited church members to consider ways in which we could engage with the conversation going forward. Now, we want to enter into these conversations with grace, maintaining unity as a church family as we do so, creating safe spaces where we can listen actively and share openly with one another, even if we hold differing viewpoints and opinions. First of all, we're keen to make praying about this a priority, just as the Baptist Together Network are also doing, whilst the responses to the consultation are being drawn together. And we're in the process of organising an event that will enable us to reflect on this later in the year. Whilst we bring this event together, we're encouraging one another to use our time wisely and explore some resources. Now, given the wealth available on this subject, I've curated an initial list from a range of viewpoints. This is clearly not comprehensive, but is intended to provide a starting point. And we're inviting folk to take time to consider these individually and in small group settings where appropriate. So please consider engaging with at least some of these resources, including those that may well challenge the views that we currently hold, as this can actually help us come to a deeper understanding in the light of the many different options available, why we think what we do. Our hope is that we can come to these conversations not weaponized up to defend our position, whatever that might be, attacking others who are seen to oppose it, but rather come seasoned with love and grace. And as Paul encouraged the Ephesian church to be committed to peace through maintaining unity through the Holy Spirit. If you'd like access to the resources list, then let me know, or one of the leadership team know. And if you've got any questions about the process that we're undertaking, then please also get in touch. Thank you.
She's a natural. So, 2 or 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be that issue. I think there's probably, if you hang around with the Christian faith for a while, you end up being caught in that. I don't know. You feel that there's some promises that have been made to you that never really seem to happen. You feel that you've been praying the same prayer for decades and nothing seems to have happened. And you're left feeling, I don't know. So again, see if you can conjure pictures in your mind or situations in your mind. And it could be the one that Ali was just talking about. But let's pray that. Because we have to believe, don't we, that God gets it. We have to believe that God understands all of our viewpoints and can see a way through so that we can have different viewpoints but still be able to be a community of His here in this space. So whether it's what Ali was just talking about or whether it's something else, 2-3 minutes of that idea of, dear God, I don't know, and then we'll say amen together. dear God, I don't know. 1, 2, 3. Amen. If anyone is listening out in the corridor, could you let the kids' church know that we're about to go into the last hymn? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go into the last hymn. Up the top there, dear Lord, amen. Dear God, amen. Dear God, amen. God, I don't know. Amen. Now, leaning towards the light, that's what this was supposed to be about, leaning towards the light. It seems to me as if the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day would cause you to remember. The Lord's Prayer 3 times a day would cause you to remember what was important to Jesus. And if you're caused to remember, you're leaning towards God. If the Lord's Prayer does it for you, that's great. If these do it for you, that's great. Prayer will always be a bit of a mystery. There's books and books and books written about prayer and how it works and how you should and you shouldn't. But I think, for me, remembering to pray and remembering that I've got the privilege of being in communication with the person, with the Father of all this, with the God who designed the universe, with the God who sent us Jesus, with the God who invented the concept of love, and I've got the privilege of being in communication with him, surely that has to be leaning towards the light. Right, let's sing a last song together.